ever feel like you're just drowning in information about AI? Like you're trying to drink from a fire hose. You see the headlines, you hear all the buzzwords, but getting a real handle on how it actually works without wading through dense research papers, it feels impossible sometimes. We all wish for that shortcut, right? That way to just get it and feel properly informed. But you found it. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're cutting through all that noise. We're tackling something really fundamental to the whole AI revolution. AI data collection. We're talking about how AI models actually get the data they need. Good data, diverse data, the right data, you know, how they source it, import it, and then the really crucial steps enhancing it and cleaning it up. So we've waded through a whole stack of sources for you, articles, research, expert takes, and our mission here is simple. We want to pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge, the practical strategies, and give you a solid understanding without you feeling overwhelmed. We'll show you exactly how AI gets the fuel it needs to run. All right, so let's kick things off right at the beginning. Before we even get into the how of collecting data, let's nail down the why. Why is data just so absolutely critical, like foundationally important for training and deploying AI models effectively?
It really is the lifeblood. It's fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
High quality, diverse, relevant data isn't just, you know, nice to have, it's essential. Without it, AI models really struggle to learn properly. They can't generalize. Think about it like this. You train an AI to spot cats, but you only show it pictures of your ginger tabby.
Okay.
Then, out in the real world, it sees a Siamese cat or a black cat, and it's completely lost. It doesn't recognize it as a cat. That's what we call overfitting. The model gets too good at the specific data it saw during training, but fails when it sees something new. So data is the raw material. It's what makes everything else in AI even possible.
Gotcha. So data is king, the essential raw material. Where does it actually come from then? Our sources pointed to just an incredible range of places. What are some of the main ways AI systems get their hands on data?
Well, it's quite a spectrum. Often it starts close to home with data an organization already has. We're talking about internal databases, your CRM system tracking customer interactions, maybe an ERP system managing business operations, or even just huge logs of transactions.
Right, the stuff companies already generate day to day.
Exactly. That's often the first place people look.
But then it gets really interesting when you look outside the organization.
Oh, absolutely. APIs, application programming interfaces, they're massive. AI systems can connect directly to APIs for real-time, usually structured data. Think social media feeds, financial market data, weather services.
Ah, so it's like a direct pipeline for information.
Pretty much. And they're great because you can often automate pulling data from them, keeping things up to date. Very efficient.
Okay, I've also heard a lot about web scraping. How does that fit in? Sounds a bit murkier.
It can be. Web scraping basically means using bots, often AI powered, to systematically pull data from websites. Public websites, forums, news articles, that sort of thing. The techniques vary. Sometimes it's straightforward HTML parsing, grabbing data from tables. Other times you might use natural language processing NLP to understand and extract specific information from unstructured text.
Like pulling company names from news articles.
Exactly that kind of thing. It's powerful, definitely lets you gather data at scale, but you absolutely have to be careful about website terms of service, copyright, privacy. Compliance is key there.
Right. Ethical and legal lines you can't cross. What about data that's maybe already gathered and packaged up?
Yeah, that's a big category too. You've got cloud data lakes, platforms like Snowflake or Databricks, designed to hold vast amounts of diverse data.
Yeah.
And then there are data marketplaces and open data repositories. Think Kaggle datasets or the UCI machine learning repository. These often provide really high quality data sets, sometimes even pre-labeled, which can save a huge amount of time and effort.
Pre-labeled. That sounds like gold for machine learning.
It can be. And speaking of continuous data, sensors and IoT devices. The Internet of Things.
Ah, yeah. Wearables, smart homes, industrial sensors.
Precisely. They generate these constant streams of real-time data. It's usually time-stamped, it has context, and the volume can be immense. Super valuable for live analytics, predictive maintenance, things like that.
Okay, but what if you need something really specific? Data that maybe only a human can reliably label or collect, like identifying emotions in text or annotating weird shapes in medical images.
That's where crowdsourcing and human-in-the-loop platforms come in. Services like Amazon Mechanical Turk, Appen's Scale AI, you basically farm out tasks to lots of human contributors. They collect data, or more often, label it. Annotating images, transcribing audio, judging sentiment, Often AI helps guide these humans or check their work for quality, hence the human in the loop. It combines human nuance with AI skill.
That makes sense. But it raises another interesting point. What if the real data you need is just hard to get? Maybe there isn't much of it, or it's super sensitive, like patient records.
Great question. And that leads us directly to synthetic data. This is where AI actually generates artificial data. We use techniques like GANs, Generative Adversarial Networks.
GGANs. Those are the things that can create like fake faces that look real.
Exactly. They pit two neural networks against each other. One generates data, the other tries to tell if it's real or fake. They get incredibly good at producing realistic but completely artificial data. This is amazing for filling gaps when real data is scarce. It helps with privacy because you're not using actual personal info, and it can add diversity to your data set. We also see companies using third-party data providers who specialize in certain data types or forming data partnerships and licensing deals for proprietary data sets.
Wow. So it really is like being a detective, isn't it? You need to know where to look, what tools to use. Sounds like finding the right data is a major part of the battle.
It often is. Sourcing is critical.
It's a real treasure hunt.
Oh.
Okay, so let's say you've done the detective work. You found your data sources, maybe a mix of APIs, some scraped data, maybe some internal logs. The next big hurdle is actually getting all that diverse data into a system, into a usable format for your AI models. How does that import process work?
Well, for really small, maybe one-off tasks, you could do a manual import, like uploading a CSV or an Excel file.
Sure, simple stuff.
But for any serious, scalable AI project, you need more firepower.
And this is where automation really shines, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Automated integration is key. We rely heavily on ETL tools. That stands for extract, transform, load. Think platforms like Talon, Coupler.io, Integrate.io. Mm. These aren't just about moving data. They build data pipelines. Resilient supply chains for your AI. They connect to all those different sources we talked about, databases, APIs, files, file out. They transform the data to make it consistent and then load it into a central place, like a data warehouse or an analytics platform.
And they can handle updates automatically.
Yep. You can often schedule them to run regularly, pulling in fresh data. Crucial for dynamic data sets. And for those real-time streams, particularly customer data where consent is managed, you might use a customer data platform, a CDP, which can integrate directly with AI models for live personalization, for example.
Okay. Now, I know lots of data scientists and developers use coding languages like Python or R for this stuff, too. How does that fit in?
That's programmatic import. Using languages like Python, especially with libraries like Pandas or R, gives you immense flexibility. You can write scripts to connect directly to APIs or databases, pull the data, combine different data sets, even start the cleaning process all within your code.
So more control, potentially more customization.
Exactly. It's highly scalable, and you can tailor the ingestion process precisely to your needs.
So beyond just making things faster or handling more volume, what's the truly transformative impact of AI on this whole importing process? What does it enable that we just couldn't do before?
AI tools really revolutionize sourcing and importing in a few fundamental ways. First, scalability. Handling enormous volumes of data from countless sources simultaneously, that's way beyond human capacity. AI eats it for breakfast.
Right.
Second, speed and efficiency. AI can gather and process data much, much faster than manual methods. Hours become minutes. Third, accuracy. Automating these processes drastically reduces the potential for human error during data entry or transfer.
Less typos, basically.
Yeah. Fewer typos, fewer format errors. Yeah. Then there's enabling true real-time data flows. AI can ingest and react to data from APIs and sensors practically instantaneously. And maybe one of the most sophisticated parts is semantic integration.
Semantic integration, what's that?
It's about harmonizing data from diverse sources that might use different formats or terminology. AI layers can help understand the meaning behind the data, allowing disparate data sets to be combined intelligently. It's like teaching different data sets to speak the same language so they can work together seamlessly.
Wow, okay. That semantic part sounds crucial when you're pulling from so many different places. Now, we mentioned synthetic data earlier as a way to fill gaps. Let's dive a bit deeper into strategies for actually expanding and enriching data sets, especially when you don't have enough real-world data.
Right. This is super important. It connects back to that overfitting problem we discussed. How do you stop your AI from just memorizing the training data and failing on new stuff?
Yeah.
A big part of the answer is data augmentation.
Data augmentation. Oh, okay. What exactly does that mean? Is it just making copies?
Not just copies. It's about artificially increasing the size. but also, crucially, the diversity of your data set. You do this either by creating manifold versions of the data you already have or by generating entirely new synthetic data points that are statistically similar.
Okay, making the data work harder, essentially. Why is that so critical for the AI?
Several reasons. First, it directly combats overfitting. By showing the model slightly different versions of the same thing, it learns the underlying patterns better, rather than just memorizing pixels or words. It improves generalization.
Makes it more robust for the real world.
Exactly. Second, it directly addresses data scarcity. In fields like medical imaging, getting lots of examples of rare conditions is tough. Augmentation lets you create more training examples. Third, it helps balance your classes. If you have way more data for normal cases than fraudulent cases, your model might become biased. Augmentation can boost the underrepresented class, and generally it just makes the model more robust, better able to handle noise, variations, the messiness of real-world data.
Can you give us some specific examples? How does this work for, say, images versus text?
Sure. For images, it's quite intuitive. You can apply geometric transformations, rotate the image slightly, flip it horizontally, zoom in or out, shift it a bit.
Things that might happen naturally if a camera was moved?
Right. You can also adjust colors, brightness, contrast, inject a bit of random noise, or, as we mentioned, use GANs, like NVIDIA's StyleGAN, to create entirely new photorealistic images based on the originals.
Okay, that's cool. What about text? How do you augment text data?
With text, you can do things like synonym replacement swap out words with similar meanings. You might randomly insert or delete words. A clever technique is back translation. You translate a sentence into another language, say French, and then translate it back into English using a different machine translation model. Often, you get a paraphrased version that retains the original meaning but uses different wording.
Oh, interesting trick.
Yeah. Or you can use large language models, LLMs like GPT, to generate entirely new sentences, paragraphs, or summaries that are contextually relevant to your data set.
And for other types, like audio.
For audio, you could shift the recording slightly in time, change the pitch or the speed without making it unintelligible, or add background noise like simulating a phone call in a noisy cafe.
And tabular data, like spreadsheets.
For tabular data, especially with imbalanced classes, a popular technique is SMOKI's synthetic minority oversampling technique. It creates new synthetic samples for the minority class by basically drawing lines between existing minority points and creating new points along those lines. It helps balance the data set without just duplicating existing rare examples.
That's fascinating. So it's really about cleverly stretching the data you have, making a little go a very long way, and teaching the AI to expect variation.
Precisely. Smarter data, not just more data.
Okay, so we've sourced our data, we've imported it, we've maybe even used augmentation to enrich it, but is it actually good data, clean data? What are those crucial, maybe less glamorous steps needed to ensure the quality is there before it gets fed into an AI model?
Ah, yes, the vital stage of data cleaning. This is absolutely essential. You can have the best algorithms in the world, but if they're fed garbage data, you know the saying.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So cleaning is about ensuring data reliability, consistency, accuracy. It's fundamental for building robust AI models that you can actually trust. It mainly involves tackling three big things: missing values, outliers, and inconsistencies.
All right, let's break those down. Missing values first. Gaps in the data. How do you find them and what do you do about them?
Missing data happens all the time. Sensors fail, people skip questions on forms, errors occur during transfer. Detecting them is usually straightforward, simple counts, or visual tools like heat maps can highlight patterns of missingness. As for dealing with them, you have options. If a whole row or column is mostly missing, you might remove it. But cautiously, you risk losing valuable information. More often, we use imputation. That means filling in the gaps.
No, just guessing.
Not exactly guessing. Simple methods use the mean, median, or mode of the existing values in that column. More complex methods might use regression or even machine learning models to predict the missing value based on other data points. Another strategy is just to flag the missing value, create a new binary indicator column so the AI model knows that this particular value was originally missing and can potentially account for that uncertainty.
Okay, that makes sense. What about outliers? Those really extreme values that stick out.
Outliers can be tricky. Sometimes they're just data entry mistakes. Someone tagged an extra zero. Other times, they're genuine, rare, but important events. We detect them using statistics, like Z-scores, which measure how many standard deviations a point is from the mean, or the interquartile range IQR method. Visually, scatter plots and box plots make them jump out.
And handling them. Just delete them.
Again, deletion should be done with caution. You might remove them if you're sure they're errors. Alternatively, you can use transformation. Applying a function like a logarithm or square root can sometimes pull extreme values closer to the rest. Or there's capping, also called Windsorization. This means limiting the extreme values, for example, setting all values above the 99th percentile equal to the 99th percentile value. It reduces their influence without deleting them.
But you said sometimes they're important.
Critically important. You must investigate outliers. Don't just blindly remove them. In fraud detection, that outlier might be the fraudulent transaction you're looking for. In medical data, it could be a critical indicator. Context is everything.
Right. Understand why it's an outlier before deciding what to do. What about the third category, data inconsistencies?
The bane of combining data from multiple sources. This covers things like different date formats, MMDDYYY versus DDMUNYY, inconsistent units, kilograms versus pounds, duplicate entries for the same customer or product, or even contradictory information like someone listed as both male and pregnant.
Happens more often than you'd think, I bet.
It does. We use validation rules. Date must be in YYYMMDD format or pattern matching like regular expressions to find these. The solutions involve standardization, converting everything to a single consistent format. Deduplication, identifying and removing or merging repeated entries. And often manual review or programmatic correction for outright errors. There are tools like Trifacta or OpenRefine that can really help automate and manage this cleaning process at scale.
Okay, so cleaning handles the technical messiness. But is there anything else beyond the numbers themselves that's critical for data quality, especially thinking about ethics and legality?
Absolutely. And this is often overlooked, but is becoming increasingly vital. Compliance and consent. It is absolutely paramount that you ensure all data used was collected with the necessary user consent and that it adheres strictly to privacy regulations like GDPR in Europe or CCPA in California and others globally. Any data that wasn't properly consented to or doesn't meet compliance standards must be blocked from ever entering your AI training pipelines. Full stop.
So it's not just about accuracy, it's about rightful use.
Precisely. It's not just a best practice. It's a legal requirement and an ethical imperative. Getting this wrong can lead to huge fines, reputational damage, and loss of user trust.
Wow. So for anyone working with AI data, it sounds like this quality assurance, this cleaning and compliance checking, it's not a one and done thing. It's constant vigilance.
It really is a continuous process, especially if your data sources are dynamic.
Okay, absolutely vital stuff. To sort of wrap things up then, can you give us a quick rundown, maybe some practical tools people use across this whole life cycle and some key best practices to keep in mind?
Sure. In terms of tools, it really depends on the specific stage and scale. For real-time data collection, especially managing consent alongside it, platforms like Telium for AI are designed for that. For sourcing, especially that human-labeled data, Appen is a big name in crowdsourcing and annotation. For the automated integration, the ETL part, tools like Talend, Coupler.io, and Integrate.io are widely used. When you get into the heavy-duty cleaning, Trifacta and OpenRefine offer powerful capabilities. And for the programmatic side, importing, analyzing, cleaning in code Python with the Pandas library is pretty much the industry standard. For handling those real-time data streams at scale, something like Apache Kafka is often essential.
Okay, a good toolkit to be aware of.
Yeah.
And what about the big picture best practices, the main takeaways for our listeners trying to navigate this?
I'd highlight a few key things. First, diversify your data sources. Don't rely on just one stream. Aim for balanced, representative data sets to avoid bias. Second, always align your data collection strategy with your specific AI goals. What are you trying to predict or achieve? Collect data relevant to that. Don't just collect everything blindly.
Be purposeful.
Exactly. Third, be realistic and allocate significant budget and resources to data sourcing and preparation. It's often the most time-consuming and resource-intensive part of the entire AI project lifecycle. Don't underestimate it. And finally, treat your data pipelines as living systems. Continuously monitor and update them. Data drifts, requirements change, sources evolve. Keep things fresh and relevant. Oh, and automate collection where possible, and definitely document your data provenance, where it came from, how it was processed. That's crucial for transparency, debugging, and reproducibility.
Excellent advice. Well, we've certainly taken a deep dive today, haven't we, into this incredibly complex but absolutely critical world of AI data collection, sourcing, importing, augmenting, cleaning. It's become undeniably clear, I think, that the performance, the fairness, the reliability of any AI model comes right back down to the quality, the diversity, and the integrity of its underlying data. And as AI gets woven more and more tightly into the fabric of our lives, the data it learns from is actively shaping its decisions, and by extension, our world. It really makes you think, what are the long-term consequences of relying more heavily on synthetic data, especially for sensitive applications, as that technology gets better and better? And maybe more importantly, how can we ensure that the data being collected today doesn't accidentally bake in subtle biases that will define the AI systems of tomorrow, potentially shaping a future in ways we don't even intend right now? Definitely something to mull over. We really hope this deep dive has shed some light, maybe given you a few surprising insights, and ultimately provided a shortcut to feeling much better informed on this absolutely essential topic.